And we are live on Blog Talk Radio for Falcon Zone. I'm your host, Jeremy the Impact York. Coach is out of town. Reggie's on his way out of town. Awesome assignments for us here. I'm going to address three rumors about that here in a minute. But it is me, it is Jeremy. We're going to talk some Falcons here in a minute. We actually had a fan question that came in just a couple minutes ago, and I had a small discussion with the fan as well. Plus, also, I'm going to have that discussion on here. A lot of people have actually asked this before and just haven't addressed it, so I'm going to actually address it here in a few minutes. I got Reggie's pick. I have not currently heard coaches, so as I get those, I'll post them up later in the week. But happy Thursday. Happy Thursday. Obviously, today's show is called Falcons on Top. The reason it's called Falcons on Top is not just because that's the song that's playing currently in our theme song, but it's because the Atlanta Falcons are in first place. In fact, they're in first place by two games. Everybody else in the NFC South, that's the Buccaneers, the Panthers, and the Saints, are all 1-3. The only thing that gives the Buccaneers the edge as far as being over the other two is they have a division win, which happens to be the Atlanta Falcons' only loss. That first week where everybody thought the sky was falling here in Atlanta, and turns out it was just a leaky roof that we repaired. And not only did that, but we put rockets on the side, and it is a spaceship right now. Also, oddly enough, that's what the new stadium looks like. But thanks for joining us. I said we got some fun things we're going to talk about. Finally get a score update on something we were looking at earlier. I'm going to start with our picks, though. And the reason I'm going to start with our picks, just to go ahead and get it out of the way, because sometimes you guys probably don't care about it, but we do. So we're going to keep talking about it. Now, currently, I am at 7-9 overall because I went 2-2 last week. Coach is at 9-7. He went 3-1 last week. Reggie also went 3-1. They had the same picks for a total of 10-6. Now, the games we are picking this week are Tennessee at Miami, Atlanta at Denver, Arizona at San Francisco, which kicks off in, about an hour 15 from now. We'll be out of here before then. And Houston at Minnesota. Juicy matchups, right? We try to vary it up, you know. A lot of times we hear, well, you don't ever pick Cleveland games, or you don't ever pick Miami games, you don't ever pick Tennessee games. You know what? I'm going to do my best to try to get everybody on here at least a couple times because we pick four games. So if you don't play the Falcons, there's a good chance I'm going to pick your team on here somewhere. Now, that being said, as the great Sonny Clark would say, Reggie just sent his in on his way up the terminal. Oh, the three rumors I want to address before we get into our picks. The three rumors. A, did Coach Hill take another job in Antarctica? No, he did not. That's false. Also false is the fact that I angered him in taking a couple shots at Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. That's also false. We go back and forth debating all kinds of stuff. And thirdly, it is also false that the Green Bay Packers will not allow him to appear on the show because I took shots at the Green Bay Packers and Aaron Rodgers. They're professionals. They heard it. They don't have a problem with it. They like me being real about it. We're all entitled to our opinions, even if they don't agree with mine, which is fine. Thanks, Green Bay, for the feedback on that. Now, back to the games. We're going to start with Tennessee at Miami. Reggie has Tennessee in this one. I think I'm going to have to agree with him just for the simple fact that I'm going to get into who Miami's new quarterback could be here in a minute. I don't think it's going to be Ryan Tannehill. They can say all they want, but you can't have any faith in Ryan Tannehill. He is playing just awful. It's just not good at all. It's in Miami. If this game gets played, it may be moved up to Tennessee, actually, because of Hurricane Matthew. It is wreaking havoc on the state of Florida and pretty much up the East Coast after that. Everybody in those affected areas are in the potential storm path, hey, do what you got to do. Get out of there if you need to, or stay in a safe place. I recommend you getting out of there, but I understand not everybody can. So do what you can and just stay safe. But we got Tennessee in this one. I feel like Delanie Walker is going to have a big game if he plays in this. If he doesn't, I still feel like Marcus Mariota is starting to pull this offense together a little bit, and I just think they're better than Miami. Miami has a good defense, but, I mean, this game's going to probably be like 10-6 or something like that. But we both have Tennessee in that one. We're going to go Houston at Minnesota. Houston doing quite well. Will Fuller, DeAndre Hopkins, those are some great options for Brock Osweiler. They're making him look a lot better than most people think he's playing. He actually does pretty well up there. You know, he's not burning the ears off anything, but same time, Brock's doing pretty well. They don't have J.J. Watt. Clowney's kind of been hit or miss, as usual. Things happen. We both got Minnesota in this one. I think Minnesota is the strongest team in the NFC currently, only because Philadelphia had an off week or had a bye week last week, and Seattle is just getting Russell Wilson healthy. I think those are your three big ones at the top. I think you can throw in Atlanta there as a wild card because they have the top-rated offense, and they are just absolute boat racing everybody. But we both have Minnesota in that one. Not only is that in Minnesota, I don't know who's going to blow the horn up there. I think it's hopefully it's somebody really cool. Maybe see, Randy Moss did it last week. Maybe Chris Carter will do it this week. That'd be kind of cool. Moving on, Arizona at San Francisco, which kicks off here in a few minutes out in the Bay Area. Actually, just talked to friend of the show and good friend of mine, Cody Elias, just a few minutes ago for another program that we have for Board Check coming up later on this week. I believe that'll come out tomorrow, all about it's our hockey show we do. But we were talking about the matchup there tonight in San Francisco, and he agrees, and so does Reggie apparently, that we feel like Arizona is in the process of imploding and that San Francisco might be just good enough to hang on and win this. We're talking 13-7, something like that. I just feel that, you know, you got Carolina and you got Arizona who played for the NFC crown, did they not, last year? Carolina moves on, loses in the Super Bowl to Denver. Arizona apparently goes home and forgets how to play football. Carson Palmer's now hurt. He's probably not going to play tonight. So that means Drew Stanton is going to run the offense. They just don't look ready. I feel bad for Larry Fitzgerald and a couple of the other guys on that team, Tyrann Mathieu, Patrick Peterson. But don't think Arizona's going to be any good. And we're going to see the wheels come off. We're going to see the team implode tonight. San Francisco is going to win this. Like I said, it's going to be, I don't know what the over-under is, but I would say they're going to score under 40 points between the two of them. If it's above that, take the under. If it's under that, probably take the under as well. But we both have San Francisco in that one as well. And just for the sake of changing it up, I may go against him in the sub one. Obviously, he has the Atlanta Falcons going into Denver and pulling the upset. I think very, very easily it could be. But we're also talking about you know, a Denver defense that is probably one of the top in the league. We're talking about the best offense in the league in the Atlanta Falcons. You're going A-plus versus A-plus there. When you talk about Denver's offense, you know, Trevor Siemian's not blowing doors off the place, but at the same time, he's keeping them in a lot of these things so that the defense can control everything. You know, I'd give them a B right now. I would also give the Falcons defense a B. So we've got an A-plus versus an A-plus. As far as Atlanta offense to Denver defense, and as far as Denver offense to Atlanta defense, I think that's a B to a B. This could come down to special teams, and I'll get into special teams here in a minute because there's actually a small update as far as the Falcons are concerned, and it brought up the fan question I was talking about. But he's got Atlanta. Obviously, he believes in his team. I actually believe in his team, but I don't know. That Denver defense is pretty good, and just for the sake of the show, I'll take Denver on my pick, but secretly or not so secretly, since I'm saying it on a national radio station, It wouldn't bother me one bit if Atlanta won that game, because around here it is a fun time to be on the Falcons bandwagon. Reggie saved me a seat, so I can jump on and off as I like. I've actually installed a door where that seat is, so I can just hop on and off. It's pretty cool. But to recap, we both have Tennessee over Miami. We both have Minnesota over Houston. We both have San Francisco over Arizona. He has Atlanta. I have Denver. And when I get coach's picks, I will let you guys know.
Oh, it's funny because it's true.
But that'll do it for our picks for now. And I talked about that it may be time to move on from Ryan Tannehill in Miami. It's probably past time, honestly. It's kind of like after the, fourth or fifth time that your dog has got out of the yard and, chased the neighbor's cat up a tree. As funny as that can be, the neighbor who owns that cat probably doesn't think it's so funny to have to try to get the cat out of the tree. So by the fourth or fifth time, it's beyond time to do something about Fido. And at this point, Fido being Ryan Tannehill, no, I'm not calling him a dog, just in my comparison, I guess he is the dog. It's just time to go. It's time to go. Now, obviously, if you're going to get rid of your quarterback, the first thing I always say, who are you going to replace him with? Well, that clue is not as far-fetched as you think it is. That clue is Adam Gase, before being the head coach of the Miami Dolphins, and I think he's a good head coach. I think he's really got a shot to be a really good head coach down the road as well. He was the offensive coordinator for the Chicago Bears last year. We all know who the Chicago Bears quarterback is. Well, not currently. He's coming back off a thumb injury, but the normal starter, Jay Cutler. No matter which of these two teams try to tell us that either, oh, we're not trading Cutler if you're the Bears, or if you're Miami, no, we've never said that we have interest in Jay Cutler. Right. Next thing you're going to tell me is the sky's purple, and instead of cutting grass, I should just let it grow. Right. Yeah, I'll get right on that. I'll get right on that. This rumor does have a little bit of legs. Like I said, it's not that far-fetched. And if Adam Gase was going to make a move, now would be a pretty good time. If the doors fall off this weekend and they lose a home game to Tennessee, it's going to be turbo time, so to say. It's going to be time to start trying to move on and do something else. Or, I don't feel like it's going to go very well for you with Tannehill still there. I'm not seeing the development. He looks like he did in the first year. You run into that a lot, especially in college, but it's in college. And if you can't cut it, it's time to get out. Next up, I want to talk about some of the big injuries from the week. Obviously, we got to talk about Cam Newton, the hit he took from the linebacker Jones. He just, in typical Cam fashion, and I put a lot of this on him. It was a clean hit. Was it necessary? That's debatable. But he left himself open for it. He ran hard on a sneak, running into the end zone. Realized that, I guess he just never saw Jones sitting there. Decided he would kind of leisurely stroll in and kind of pulled up. And when he pulled up, he got popped right on the goal line.
Was that not clear without the bam? Yeah, okay. Bam! What?
I mean, that's pretty much what Jones said there. It was just like, what? And he looked like he kind of got knocked silly there. He's able to kind of scramble and stretch out so that he could get into the end zone. I think it's a 2-point conversion at that. But he's in the concussion protocol and in the process of being in the concussion protocol. He may or may not play this weekend. It's actually looking like it's going to be Derek Anderson as far as who's actually going to start for the Carolina Panthers. Okay, there's the other one. Okay. Yeah. he's actually going to, more than likely, Cam's going to be out. Derek Anderson's going to start. Actually, Derek Anderson can throw. He can move a little bit. He obviously doesn't have the running ability that Cam Newton does, but, hey, you know, who's Carolina playing this week? Carolina would be playing... Oh, they're the Monday night matchup. Tampa Bay is actually going to be in Carolina. You know what? Take Tampa Bay in that. I think Tampa Bay's defense is going to make Carolina's offense look pretty silly, and Carolina's defense has not been all that amazing, so maybe Jameis makes a couple plays, throws it to Mike Evans, and makes a pretty good go of it. Now, one of the other big injuries, obviously, is to Trevor Siemian, who hurt his shoulder. It's his left shoulder, I believe. But it has kept him out of practice up to this point. And I really should have remembered that when I picked Denver a while ago, because it looks like Paxton Lynch is actually going to probably start. The reason I say that, Paxton Lynch has been at practice. He's been a participant in practice. Trevor Siemian has been at practice and not been a participant. I think he was limited a little bit today. They're not going to tell you. Kubiak is such a veteran coach. He's not going to tell you until 30 minutes before game time when you have to release a roster. But I'm going to say it's the Pringle guy. The Pirate Pringle, as I call him. And, you know, we'll get to see exactly how good Paxton Lynch really is. The third big injury, there are four of these. The third big injury that I think will absolutely impact this week, Navarro Bowman. He is the best player on the San Francisco 49ers. He will definitely not play tonight. He's not playing the rest of the year. He tore his Achilles. And I hate that because I was hoping a handful of the teams that I like more than others would make a move and possibly bring him in. But Navarro's just a good dude. You know, Cody has talked high about him before. A lot of other people I know out in the Bay Area, they love this guy. He's a great team player. Jim Harbaugh has talked good about him. Everybody does. Everybody likes him. It was terrible to watch him go down with the injury the way he did. Wish the best on all these guys. I don't want anybody hurt, you know? I'm just not that kind of person, but they're going to have to bring in... They brought in somebody. Who was it? They activated somebody off the list, but don't have it in front of me. I apologize. But, you know, just hope he's able to come back. Usually it takes almost a full calendar year to get over an Achilles. Hopefully it doesn't take him that long, but at the same time, you know, just rehab it and do what you got to do. It's, you know, it's a process. The last of the big four injuries that I'm going to talk about is going to impact tonight's game. And I talked about it earlier. Drew Stanton is going to start for the Arizona Cardinals because Carson Palmer has a concussion. He took a pretty hellacious hit. And we've all seen before, even last year, now Stanton got hurt last year as well, but when Carson Palmer went down, it's out. The offense went south. Defense could barely keep them in games. They were doing their best, but they just couldn't score, and it was all over. And so far, their offense can't get going already, and that's with Carson Palmer in. If you can't win with Carson Palmer, how do you expect to win without Carson Palmer? So this injury is just going to – it may officially implode. Just, you know, it's literally going to be a dumpster fire, I think, starting tonight. You're going to see – which is sad because Bruce Arians is a great coach. Fitzgerald, there's a lot of really great guys over there, really great players, but it's just not going to be anything going right. John Fox says that his quarterback position, his starter for quarterback, is not only going to be Brian Hoyer this week, it's going to be based on performance, which means it's probably not going to be Jay Cutler. Brian Hoyer has actually been doing pretty well. Jay Cutler is apparently not 100% coming off his thumb injury. But, hey, John Fox is I think trying his best to get Cutler out of Chicago. So that goes back to my rumor. Why not convince Adam Gase to pick him up? I really don't know what Cutler's worth would be. Third, fourth rounder, backup punter, who knows? But I would imagine Fox can get a defensive guy. But he says, based on performance, no matter what Jay Cutler says, to me, this is the way that the Bears organization is going to move on from Jay Cutler. I think he's done this year, no matter if they move him or not. Bears fans, you better applaud what I'm saying because it absolutely needs to happen. Now, there was some dumb penalties this week, and so far a couple people have, you know, had to pay up for it. Got Odell Beckham Jr., who caught a 4-yard pass and then proceeded to get a 15-yard penalty because he couldn't control his emotions. Said Xavier Rhodes got under his skin. Well, ding, 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 you just told every other corner in the NFL that if you get up under your skin, you blow up and get a personal foul. I'm surprised they didn't push you harder and try to get you kicked out of the game. We've already had our first ejection from two personal fouls from unsportsmanlike conduct. Well, a couple weeks ago, one of the guys in Minnesota or something got kicked out for it. So you wouldn't be the first, but you'd definitely be the biggest to get kicked out. You had like three catches for 23 yards. They were already shutting you down. That's probably why they didn't go back after you. But people are going to continue to exploit this rule until it's adjusted. It's not going to be adjusted until at least next year. So it's like getting, if you're in basketball and the biggest player on the other side gets a technical, the best thing to do is try to get him to get another one because then he's out of the game and you don't have to worry about him anymore. And Odell Beckham Jr. says football is not fun for him currently. Oh, my bad. My bad. You sound like now I'm not even going to compare you to a third grader because third grader wouldn't act like this. Do you think the whole world revolves around you, Odell Beckham Jr.? Do you think we wake up and try to see... excuse me, huh? Do you think we wake up and try to see if we can entertain you for 16, 18, 20, however many hours you are up for the day? Like, gosh. Need to just stop what I'm doing and make sure that this is fun for Odell Beckham. No. Life's not always fun. It is on this show. But life's not always fun. Plus, if football ain't what you think it is or what you signed up for, there's the door. Use your LSU degree and go do whatever it is you got your degree in. When Eli Manning calls you out at a press conference and says your penalties are on you, that's the organization echoing that they're tired of your shenanigans. And what, you're 3 years in, they're already tired of your shenanigans. We literally have a Brandon Marshall situation here, even though Brandon Marshall didn't act this bad. There's a reason why Brandon Marshall's been on three or four different teams. He started to be a diva wide receiver, and they shipped him off. Well, he played for the Broncos, the Jets, the Bears. They just got tired of it. Finally, he doesn't do it with the Jets. That's why he's still there. Sometimes things will actually trump talent. And this is one of them. There could be a case here soon that if this continues, especially if he starts to be ineffective, he's in the third year of his five-year deal, I believe. Potential five-year deal. There's a chance they move him, send him somewhere else. There's plenty of other teams that will try to take him on and mold him and and control him. Good luck. The Giants and the family don't put up with this kind of stuff. So, you know, Odell, you better get your stuff straight, or maybe they ship you out. Or maybe they just plan out blackball you out of the league. Who knows? I would say he gets moved before any of that happens. But, you know, maybe he gets his stuff behind him. The other dumb penalty, and I will call it a dumb penalty because it is absolutely a dumb penalty. Josh Norman makes a big play, pulls the arrow out of the make-believe quiver, the make-believe arrow out of the make-believe quiver. He pulls it. See, if we had a video right now, you can see me doing this. He strings it on the imaginary make-believe bow. He pulls it back and lets a shot go. And I guess since he shot it at somebody, that he ended up getting a penalty for it. Okay, that's borderline, but I understand that. Then he got fined $10,000 earlier today for said infraction. Now, first of all, there's a couple of players in the league that do the bow and arrow celebration 3 or 4 or 5 times a game, and they haven't been penalized yet, so kind of like the uniformity there. But if you're Josh Norman, you know that it's you go from being one of the best corners in the league on a really great defense to being possibly the best corner on your team on an okay defense. You're not quite the shutdown you were. Keep having problems. Keep trying to use your mouth to make up for it. Well, stats don't usually involve running your mouth. So, you know, it's another player that just needs to get himself in control. Now, like I said, I will agree that I don't know that you should have been fined for the bow and arrow motion you made. And I will partially agree that I don't know that it was actually a penalty-worthy thing or action. But referee said it was, so you got to just let that go. You can't argue it, and you can't challenge a penalty. So let it go, move on, and then pay the fine and move on. Go back to being the Josh Norman that did shut down people. That I don't even think you had really been at a press conference or anything of the such. I didn't even really know who you were until towards the end of the season. You actually spoke a few times. So I'd rather you go back to being shut down, don't run your mouth, Josh Norman. Maybe that's just my personal opinion. Josh, would love to have you on the show. I'd love to hear your side of it. You know, you can tell me to shut up for all that matters. But just dumb penalties. Dumb penalties in general, and you got to control your emotions, because if you show the other team you can't, then they're going to beat you, and you're going to get kicked out. I do want to hit on the fact that the Buffalo Bills and Rex Ryan and Rob Ryan did shut out New England last week, 16-0. Now, that may be the high score for the year for them. I don't know that they've scored 16 against anybody. Can I find out? Oh, they scored against Arizona. Okay. 31 against the Jets. And 7 against Baltimore. So, all right. Well, third highest total you've had all year. You get to play the L.A. Rams this week. Good luck on that. But they shut out New England. And we all know I'm a New England fan as well as a Dallas Cowboy fan, but as a New England fan, I will accept this defeat. Don't have a choice anyway. I'll accept this defeat. I will say touchdown Tommy's coming back this week. And, hey, Rex, you outsmarted him. You beat him. Good for you. You're now 1-12 against Bill Belichick. So enjoy that. Maybe he's 2-12. Something like that. But enjoy that. Buffalo, you're going to need all the wins you can get, although you're probably better off not getting a whole lot of wins, even though it will cost you the Ryan brothers. But you'll get a good pick, and you can go find a quarterback or an offensive lineman. I don't know. Maybe they'll let you draft a coach. Super Bowl predictions. Now, I was going to get Coach and Reggie Super Bowl predictions because they both said they needed at least 4 weeks. Well, it's been 4 weeks, and they also brought up what I changed mine that I had at the beginning of the season, where I said the New England Patriots are going to take on the Seattle Seahawks. I got the Patriots going over, not because I'm a homer, but because I think they're the best team in the league. Now, Seattle kind of had a rough start there, here and there. But as far as my prediction, having those two teams play and that outcome, no, I'm sticking with that right now. I think Seattle, like I said, is one of the top teams in the NFC. I put Minnesota. I put Atlanta. And I put Philadelphia in that boat. I do think, though, that if you're going to go to the Super Bowl, you're going to have to go more than likely to Seattle and win a game there, or you're not going to go. So would I change mine? No, I've still got... I still got Seattle losing to New England in mind. And we'll get Coach and Reggie's in the next couple of weeks, see if they are at a point where they can... I mean, Reggie might have Atlanta in. I could understand it. Now, I want to talk about the 4-0 teams and the 3-0 team and the 3-1 team and kind of just briefly, you know, how well I think they're going to do the rest of the year going forward. We're going to start with the 4-0 teams. The Denver Broncos, I think, will be in the playoffs. Let's see, they're in there with Kansas City, San Diego, and Oakland. Yeah, I'm going to venture to say that Denver's probably still going to win their division. And we'll see how they if they stay undefeated as they take on. They have to do it with Paxton Lynch, I would imagine, but as they take on Atlanta later on. It's a 4:20 start or something like that. It's a late game for us here in the Atlanta area, but I'm okay with it. Minnesota, who is also 4-1. I think Minnesota is probably going to win their division as well. I'm not saying this because they're undefeated. I think they're the best team in their division. Now, of course, Minnesota has the home game Sunday. It's a 1 p.m. start over here on the East Coast against Houston. That's going to be a pretty good test to see if Sam Bradford can lead them through that defense. Without J.J. Watt, still it's a good defense. But, you know, Denver, Minnesota, also, like I said, they're both going to probably win their divisions. You got the 3-0 Philadelphia Eagles. I still got Dallas winning that division. Not because I'm a Dallas fan. Throw that out. But Philadelphia, I think, is a potential wild card. Hey, they could win the division. Carson Wentz has looked pretty dang good. So, as far as that, I think all three of those are playoff teams. Now, we get into the 3-1 teams. The Seattle Seahawks are probably going to win their division. The Seattle Seahawks probably going to have home field advantage at least through the first round, if not. Depends on what Minnesota does. Between those two for home field advantage all the way to the Super Bowl. So, Seattle, I think, is just getting powered up. Just like a couple years ago, they got all the guys back from injury. It all started to click at the same time, about week 4, 5, 6, something like that, and they just started boat racing people. You have the Atlanta Falcons. I think Atlanta's probably going to win their division. They look pretty strong right now. Carolina looks like they're trending down. The New Orleans Saints, who are off this week, they're kind of sitting there in Mediocreville, trying to put a few things together, trying to rebuild, trying to figure out what they want to do going forward. And Tampa Bay, who is probably fighting for second, and a potential wild card. Just depends on what they can do. But I think they have a few issues. So, I mean, Atlanta's the front runner to win that division right now. Brings up the L.A. Rams, the 3-1 L.A. Rams. Good for them, right? Who knows how long this is going to last. They've actually looked pretty decent with Case Keenum. They've been able to score enough points, and the defense holds the other team under. They're winning all the games 10-9, 13-7, those kinds of things. And, you know, after getting blown out by San Francisco in week one on the opening game, one of the opening games, they've looked pretty decent. So maybe they could slide into a wild card or something like that. I don't know. They're going to kind of be interesting to see what happens in the next 3 or 4 weeks with them. The Dallas Cowboys are a coin flip every day. Is Dak Prescott going to play? Well, that's pretty sure as long as Tony Romo doesn't. If it was up to me, I think you go with Romo until proven otherwise, although Dak has been pretty good. He's been an Alex Smith. He's one of the better game managers right now. You don't ask him to take a lot of big chances, and it pays off. Now, of course, Dallas has Cincinnati this week at home, which is going to be an interesting test. That was almost one of the games we picked, but we didn't. Try to change it up, remember. It's going to be an interesting test. I think Dallas has the better offense. I think Cincinnati has the better defense, so we'll see how that plays out. And Dan Bailey, the kicker for Dallas, may or may not play because of a bad back. So that's an interesting wild card. But as far as Dallas, borderline wild card team, potentially could win their division, but they got to fight off Philly. I still have them finishing first in the division, but hey, it's just me. The Oakland Raiders, wild card team. They haven't taken a big enough step forward for me to put them any higher. Although I do like a lot of things they do. The young nucleus they have, Reggie McKenzie has done a fantastic job over there. Houston. I mean, somebody's going to win that division, right? And Houston seems like the strongest. The Colts. I don't know. The Colts are like a flaming paper bag on your doorstep. Pretty much it is. Andrew Luck, Adam Vinatieri, T.Y. Hilton, and 50 guys who, if you can name one of them, good for you. If I'm Andrew Luck's agent, I'm going to get out of Indianapolis while I still have a scout. It's just, I don't know. But back to Houston, Osweiler's been doing okay. He hasn't lost a lot of games. He hasn't turned the ball over a whole lot, and this defense is quite good even without J.J. Watt. So, I don't know. They're kind of borderline. They're probably going to win their division, which is going to give them a home playoff, I believe. Yeah, it will. Home playoff. So, you know, kind of like the Colts have in previous years. We'll just have to see what happens there. You got the Pittsburgh Steelers, by far the front runner. If you're not a New England fan, then you're a Pittsburgh fan in the AFC. I think it's between New England and Pittsburgh as far as who is the AFC representative. But a lot of things can happen because the next team, the Baltimore Ravens, who have surprised everybody, they're supposed to be bottom of the league this year, have put a lot together. They're 3-1, and Joe Flacco's looking good. The usual suspects, Terrell Suggs. Lots of leaders on and off the field. Great front office, great head coach, great owners, all the way around. So, I mean, Baltimore, you never know. It could just be one down year and be right back in the mix. Them and Pittsburgh are going to battle for that division. I think Cincinnati is going to be lucky to be anywhere close to a wild card. But we'll have to see on that. And then the New England Patriots, they get touchdown Tommy back. Gronkowski's going to feel a lot better about that. It'll give the backups time to heal the thumb injuries to Jacoby Brissett and the shoulder of Jimmy Garoppolo. So, and they have a chip on the shoulder because they got blown out 16-0 last week, and they're playing the Cleveland Browns. So they're going 4-1. Newsflash. As we roll on over into the Falcons portion of Falcon Zone, I know you guys are excited. You should be. We're going to talk about the win over the Panthers, 48-33. Same thing they did to the Saints. They just outraced them, basically. The defense this year for the Falcons have given up 124 total points. That's 124 all year. That's a good bit. That is 31 points a game they're giving up. That's all right, though, because they're scoring 152 a game, which is 34 a game. That makes sense, probably. So every game is averaging 34 to 31. That's still a win. You can win 16 games doing that. They're not going to. I think they're going to win about 10. They're still going to win their division. Don't have to worry about that right now. But man, that's a lot of points. 124 that you give up and 152 total that you've scored. Last week, Julio Jones had 300 receiving yards. I believe that's most in franchise history. He is only the sixth person to ever have 300 or more in a game. And Matt Ryan had 503 passing yards. That is also a franchise record. He broke his own record, I believe. And they are the only quarterback wide receiver duo to have at least 500 passing yards and at least 300 receiving yards in the same game. So congratulations to Matty Ice and Julio on that accomplishment. This game pretty much, I mean, Cam was able to do a few things. Even when, I think his injury going out didn't affect it all that much. I really think it didn't, because Derek Anderson come in and was at least moving the ball. He threw a few interceptions late, but Falcons defense was starting to make stops by then. So I absolutely think that the Falcons are on a roll. I absolutely think that the Falcons won that game more than Carolina lost it. And moving forward, I feel really good about the Falcons. Now, some news and notes as far as the Falcons. Sean Weatherspoon tore his Achilles. I talked about that off the air. I didn't talk about it on here yet. That could have been my fifth injury. We only want to talk about four. But he tore his Achilles. I hate it. Anytime you tear your Achilles, talk about it with Navarro Bowman, that it's usually a one-year injury, 8 months at the absolute best, but Weatherspoon being a little bit older, a bit longer in the tooth, as coach would say. You look in a calendar year, and that's before he's ready to start coming back. Remember, Corey Beardman a couple years ago took him almost a full year of being back on the field in order to get back in the amazing play shape that he was. Now, just for the sake of mentioning it, could they sign Croy Bierman? They could. But Sean Weatherspoon's a middle linebacker, and Croy plays outside. So, you know, I don't know, unless they start shuffling people. But they had interest in a middle linebacker who played at Ohio State. He is the brother-in-law of Brady Quinn. I believe he married Brady Quinn's sister. And he then was drafted by the Green Bay Packers, played a long time there. He has a very cool podcast. He played for the Bengals, and now he plays for the Atlanta Falcons. He is A.J. Hawk. I like A.J. Hawk. I've always liked him. Him and Werlo in the middle, even though Werlo is a little banged up right now, him and Werlo in the middle are very much going to be a nuisance to anybody trying to come over the middle of the field, and he still has a little bit left in the tank as far as the rush ability, so coming from two great defenses like Green Bay and Cincinnati, I feel really good about having A.J. Hawk. And now it gives me another Falcon that I really, really like. I like a lot of them, but I really like A.J. Hawk. Tevin Coleman. You know, he has the sickle cell condition that gives him issues. Wasn't sure if he was going to be able to play in Denver because the dent there kind of would give him a few fits as far as that. But Coach Dan Quinn said that he believes Tevin Coleman is going to play and he's going to be a big impact on this game. I agree. From a fantasy perspective, flex at best, just in the off chance that he doesn't play or doesn't play well. But against this Denver defense, you really don't know how he's going to play anyway. He may be the game breaker or he may be the one to hand off the duties to Devontae Freeman, who could run, you know, just run amok on their defense. And the last note I have here is that our kicker, when I say our, I mean Atlanta, the Atlanta kicker, just for the life of me, I just forgot his name. Oh, Matt Bryant. Sorry. Thanks for whoever in the studio just shouted that out. Matt Bryant has a small injury that if he's not able to play, they would have to find another kicker. Now, the fan question was simply that. If Matt Bryant doesn't play, what would the Falcons do? Because they don't have a backup signed to the roster. Very true. They don't have a backup signed to the roster. What you typically do is you have one kicker. You may have one on a practice squad. You may have a short list of other ones, but you typically only have one on the 53-man roster because you just don't want to take up a spot that you could use for somebody else. Now, do they have one on their practice squad? They do not, according to what I'm looking at. So, more than likely, you know, this fan wanted to know, well, if Matt Bryant doesn't play, what are their options? Well, remember Nick Rose? he's on their short list, even though he had a few that he shanked to the left during the preseason, but he's still a pretty decent kicker. Shane Graham, who filled in last year, I think would be the number one option. And if he's not, he would be the number two option because Robbie Gould, if the Dallas Cowboys don't sign him because of the Dan Bailey injury, I think Robbie Gould is the number one prospect for anybody currently looking for a kicker, which could include Minnesota if Blair Walsh continues to miss. But long story short, if Matt Bryant doesn't play, I would expect Shane Graham to be in temporarily until Matt Bryant was better. Or, you know, if Matt Bryant doesn't get better soon, they move on and keep Shane Graham. If Shane Graham's not available, Robbie Gould. If Robbie Gould's not available, I would say Nick Rose. And that would be your options. But that's something that a team has to look for because you don't want to take up a roster spot. But you got to have some sort of option. So everybody pulls them in. Everybody pulls kickers in almost weekly to try different ones out. You get a short list to keep everybody's number where when you need one, you just call. You hopefully they're within range, you know, because you'll know within, you know, a day or so of the game, usually within a couple days of the game, if the kicker's going to play. But I hope Matt Bryant plays. He's a good kicker. He's a good guy. And I think the Falcons really rally off some of his kicks. That's going to do it for me this week. Appreciate you guys joining us. Lots of fun things to talk about next week on Falcons Zone. Hopefully we have Coach and Reggie back in. But I'm Jeremy the Impact York. Thanks for joining us on Falcons Zone right here on Blog Talk Radio. Thanks to Impact Media. See you guys next week. Go Falcons!